The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Last week, our readings were about prayer, and this week, our readings are about prayer. Last week, we had Moses standing in a worshipful, prayerful posture so that the Israelites could defeat their enemy, and they did. And then we had Jesus teaching about the importance of perseverance in prayer. And then we had Paul giving some really very good advice on perhaps a way to pray. He talked about the necessity to know Scripture, and he was talking about the Old Testament because the New Testament hadn't been written then, but the importance of knowing the Old Testament so that we would know what God is calling us to do, but also so that we could then go forth and proclaim that good news to other people. So he had some wonderful readings about the importance of Scripture, prayerfully reading Scripture, persevering in prayer, and recognizing that prayer is relationship with God, and it's a worshipful relationship with God. In today's first reading, we hear from Sirach a particular type of prayer that God always listens to right away, and that's the prayer of the poor, those who are totally dependent upon the Lord, people who are outcasts, the widows, the orphans, those who have no one to advocate for themselves. And in a sense, the reading is a warning to us who are comfortable that we too had better pay attention to the call of the poor. We too had better reach out to them in their need when they call to us, because it's not that God plays favorites, but he has a special place in his heart for those who are poor, who are outcast. So we should be praying that our hearts and our minds are open to those in need, and that we're always very quick to respond to those needs that people give us, especially from those who are poor. And in the gospel today, we have a story of really how to approach prayer, kind of a posture that we should take when we pray. We have Exhibit A, the Pharisee. We have Exhibit B, the publican. Exhibit A, the Pharisee, is don't try to pray this way. In fact, it's not even prayer. But Exhibit B, the publican, now this is really heartfelt prayer. So Jesus says, the Pharisee stood at the front and he spoke this prayer to himself. That's what the scripture says. He spoke it to himself. He wasn't even saying it to God. So it really wasn't prayer. It was about, I guess, building up his own ego. And he's saying, this is how good I am. I have done it. It's as if God had nothing to do with it. No, thank you, God, because you have done all this for me, but I have done it. So it's about me. It's not about you, God. And then we have the publican, totally different, totally different. Yes, the publican was hated by people because they worked for the Roman Empire. They sometimes could overcharge for the taxes, so forth and so on. But the publican knew that he was totally dependent upon God and that he wouldn't dare to approach God and say, give me my rights, or this is what I deserve, or whatever, but rather, he didn't even look up to God. but rather he hung his head and said, Lord, forgive me, I am a sinner. He practiced humility, obviously one of the great virtues. And he didn't practice false humility, which says, I'm the worst of the worst. He was simply being objective. Yes, I do have failings, I'm a sinner. And that's good humility, to say, yes, objectively, I know that I chose to do this and therefore sinned, it's my fault, and I take responsibility for it. It's not saying, God, I am not worthy of your love. That's false humility. We are worthy of God's love, not because we have done it, but because God makes us worthy of his love. So we want to make sure that our balance in prayer is focused on God, for who God is and what he has revealed to us and what he wants of us, and to be as objective as possible about it, and then for us to respond in humility to the goodness of God. So in our prayers, we can pray any way we want. We have wonderful traditions in the church of praying to God. We can pray the rosary. We can do the liturgy of the hours. We can go for a walk and just point out to God the beauty of the world and thank God for it. There's infinite number of ways of praying. But when we do that and we acknowledge God's sovereignty, that he is the creator of everything, in fact, he's the creator of my ability to give thanks, to be prayerful, then we are acknowledging ourselves as children of God, practicing humility, and recognizing that God really is the author of everything. You and I are called to be humble people, to, again, not be practice false humility, that say we're the worst of the worst. No, that's not helpful. But to objectively recognize who we are in the eyes of God, and who are we? We are beloved children. Beloved children, there's nothing that we can do to push God away. We are disciples, we are human beings, we're creatures, therefore we have built into us this tendency to sin, not that we have to sin, but that we know that if it weren't for the grace of God, we would be nothing. We would not be able to achieve anything. So that's part of our humility in our prayer, that we're always recognizing who we are in the eyes of God so that we can grow. Because God's constantly saying, I know who you are, I know who you were before I created you, I know what your life experiences are about, but do not be discouraged or afraid, because I'm always with you. I'm always with you. You don't have to worry about that or be afraid of that. If you fail, just come to me, ask for forgiveness, and I will forgive you. But no matter what we do, we are God's beloved children. And so, like the publican, we can say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner, but also know that as sinners who confess our sins, we are forgiven by God. God doesn't hold the sins against us. Once we have confessed them, once they have been forgiven, God doesn't remember them. We're told that in the Old Testament. He takes those sins and he puts them behind his back so that he's not going to remind us of our sins. What a wonderful God. He's not going to throw it in our face, but rather he's always willing to take these burdens that we have confessed and get rid of them so that we can truly be on fire, truly be free disciples of the Lord, and do the wonderful things that God has given us to do in our lives. And the graces of God far outnumber anything I could do to push God away. So we have a wonderful God who calls us to be always prayerful, to attend to the prayers in particular of the poor, the outcast. And we know that the posture of prayer that we should always have is one of humility, true humility, that says, this is who I am, this is who God is, this is what our relationship is about, and we can work with that to grow into discipleship. We can grow into sainthood, because that is indeed what God is calling each of us to become. So as always, we're called to ask ourselves, what is our prayer life like? What do I need to do to tweak it? What do I need to do to start over, maybe? What are my expectations? Are they kind of otherworldly that I need to rein them in and to come up with a very practical way of praying that can always be changed and developed? And then to ask, what is it that I seek in prayer? What do I want from prayer? It's basically relationship with God. So as I pray, am I getting to know God better? Am I getting to know myself better in the eyes of God? Have I ever sat down and said, Lord, this is who I think I am. Who do you think I am? What do you think of me? We ask God that so that we can get some kind of response from God to help us grow in our faith as children of God. So prayer, as I mentioned last week, like worship, is something that's wired into us. We have to do it. Any person has to do it. They may find ways of doing it with false gods, idols, whatever, but nonetheless, we are wired to worship the Lord and to pray. So we've got to find some way of doing that and constantly work at it so that we can come to know the goodness of God more and more and to live that goodness each and every day. So my invitation for this week is to take a look at your own prayer life. What is it like? What might you do to change it? How do you approach your prayer? What do you find from prayer after you have done some prayerful reading of Scripture or just going for a walk and praising the Lord? What does it do to you? How does it change you? Is it drawing you closer to Christ? Because that's the goal of prayer. So as we continue this, the perfect prayer of the church, which is the Mass, where God and all the angels and saints are present to us, where we are fed with his word and we are fed with his very flesh and blood, let's pray that we will become more like God, more attentive to the prayers of others, and more willing to expose ourselves, our heartfelt insides to the Lord, so that we can come to know the Lord better and to do the work of the Lord.